Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy on the road in the RC, Richland, the newest acquisition in the Civic Media brand, WRCO, which is a nice country FM here in Richland County, and WRCE, the newly branded News from the Center. I'm here in the center. Well, I guess I'm in the center of all the studios, and I'm going to have some fine guests with me, including former state senator, Republican, twice elected majority leader, Dale Schultz. And he's already here at the WRCO studios. I said hi to Dale. He's got a very colorful shirt on. I'll share it on social media. So our good friend Dale Schultz joining me here in just a little bit on the airwaves, and we'll check in with him. Also in the happy hour, Brad Paff. He is the third CD congressional candidate. He's the Democrat, the non-insurrectionist candidate for the third CD. Brad's going to call in. We are in the third CD. And once again, we are at the new broadcast home here of Civic Media in Richland Center, WRCE, the RC News from the Center. So anyways, I'll keep bringing it up. And if you're hearing us for, you know, the first time or the very first time today, you can always be a part of this program. We got Evan in the world headquarters in Madison, lightly screening the phone calls at 844-967-2789. Evan, I don't know if you noticed, but over the course of the weekend, Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, the semi-fascist, he came here to the great state of Wisconsin on a little campaign rally, I guess. What, Tim Michaels, the honoree, came to town for Tim Michaels. And I got to tell you, I found it quite gauche. You know, who does a anti-Packer, and I know they weren't here to root against the Packers, but you can't program against the Packers. You don't get married on a fall Sunday in the state of Wisconsin, or Saturday if you're a good Badger fan. You know, they should have known better. Ron DeSantis, you should have known better. Now, DeSantis also apparently was in Kansas City, down in Kansas, doing a little campaigning a little bit earlier in the day. And at the rally there, DeSantis said something to the effect, you know, there better not be a Kansas City Chiefs game this afternoon. No, that game had already happened. That was the Thursday night game, I believe. But DeSantis came here to the great state of Wisconsin and basically interrupted what should have been nothing but the celebration, you know, of the glorious Packer game. Now, I'm hearing something in the background. Somebody's microphone's open. Oh, there, it's much better now. Here is something else to take note of. Ron DeSantis was supposed to have spoken at a prayer promoting traditional values, traditional marriage over the weekend. But he no-showed that event. Apparently, he did show up in Green Bay prior to the Packer game. A little bit of coverage here. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is running for re-election in Florida, but he's been spending a lot of time at national GOP events around the country instead of campaigning in his home state. Over the weekend, DeSantis was supposed to be one of the speakers at the Family Research Council conference called Prayer Vote Stand in Atlanta, but according to Religion Dispatches, it was a no-show. He stood up to Christians. That's not very Christ-like.
No, it's not.
Former Kansas Governor Sam Brownback told the anti-LGBTQ activists that they must form their own groups that promote so-called religious freedom and organize around different faith communities. Now, religious freedom has become a buzzword for the religious right that means they have the power to discriminate against whoever they want without consequence because it falls under the protection of their faith. In reality, it means that a Christian baker can refuse service to an LGBTQ couple on religious grounds. LGBTQ teachers can be denied jobs at Christian schools. But anyways, Ron No showed him. But he did show up in the great state of Wisconsin. Ron came here. Great to have him, right? No, not really. No one wanted Ron DeSantis here in the state of Wisconsin, except Ron DeSantis, of course, and, you know, perhaps Tim Michaels. Let's see, which coverage should we bring you? I believe the public radio coverage is the one I went to, our friends over at Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what they wrote. Republican Tim Michaels pledged to cut taxes, institute universal school choice, and stop the indefinitely confined status for absentee voters in a campaign appearance with Florida Gubernator Ron DeSantis Sunday night in Green Bay. The crowd packed into a ballroom at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center. You know, it was a fine event because it was at the Radisson. Also heard brief speeches by U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher, Republican from Green Bay, who's running unopposed this year, and GOP U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who came from a Green Bay Packers tailgate to speak at the rally and left in time to catch the team's opener against the Chicago Bears. Now, I did view some of the video. I was not at the big tailgate rally or the big DeSantis appearance. Ron Johnson at least showed up in, you know, like a Packers jersey. I assume it was an Aaron Rodgers jersey, but, you know, who knows? Maybe an old vintage Lynn Dickey, or maybe it was a Randy Wright. They've all been number 12 through the years. Now, DeSantis, widely seen as a potential rival to former President Donald Trump for the Republican Party's 2024 presidential nomination, used this little speech in Green Bay to promote conservative Florida as a, and this is his quote, a citadel of freedom that resisted public health restrictions and liberal education initiatives. DeSantis promised that Michaels would follow his lead if elected in Wisconsin. Is that what you want, folks? But here's the quote from DeSantis. Everything we've done in Florida, you'll be able to do in Wisconsin. And then some. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. DeSantis. Yeah. I don't think people lining up for, you know, a healthy dose of DeSantis. Perhaps I don't read all the tea leaves. Now, here's what it says. DeSantis is heavily favored to win his reelection campaign in Florida, and his national profile in conservative media circles makes him a draw for campaigns across the country. He railed against public health restrictions and the woke mind virus of liberal entertainment and education in his own speech, and received a sustained standing ovation when he discussed his administration's move last week. I want to talk about this maybe in the happy hour. Does here DeSantis ship 50 asylum-seeking immigrants from San Antonio, understanding he is the governor of Florida, paid for the move of 50 asylum seekers to Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod, Massachusetts?
Yeah, terrible story. Ugh.
And we're certainly going to talk about this story. You know, he thinks it makes him a big man, very appealing in the most harsh conservative circles that he runs in. But, you know, they weren't immigrants into Florida. He, like, what? Went to a different state, deceived the people, and shipped them to a third state? Well, anyways, here is what DeSantis had to say in Green Bay. And again, he's here pre-Packer game, man. Nobody does that. Not when the Packers are playing Sunday night against the hated Chicago Bears. Not much of a rivalry these days. We just kick their ass consistently. But anyways, here again a quote of DeSantis. One of the biggest failures of the rule of law is happening right now at the southern border of the United States. Until last week, no one was really talking about it. Now people are concerned about it. Now, I know over on the Foxy News and amongst Republicans, they talk about this quite a bit. I don't know that people fear the immigrants quite as much as, you know, the Ron DeSantis's would like them to. And strategically, DeSantis is, you know, running for re-election in a state that has a pretty significant Latino population. Is this what they want to see in their governor? You know, and of course, by extension, if Tim Michaels is elected here, well, we'll get it in our governor, too. As an agent of the DeSantis administration reportedly lied to the asylum seekers to induce them to take the trip, which DeSantis said Sunday was meant to highlight liberal hypocrisy about immigration. The community in Martha's Vineyard rallied to support the migrants, offering food, shelter, and legal help, but many were also bused to Boston, where they had reportedly been told they were going when they boarded the plane in Texas. Nothing like, you know, getting on an airplane that doesn't arrive at the destination they told you you were going to. In his speech, Michaels rallied the conservative audience with promises to eliminate sucker bucks or privately funded election grants for cities and to require voters who list themselves as indefinitely confined when requesting absentee ballots to reapply and show a photo ID again to renew their claim. A few more hurdles to voting. Just because maybe you had COVID over 2 years ago does not mean you should have a ballot, or unfortunately, in some cases, I've heard multiple ballots. Well, you know, there's the crux of it. I'm quoting Tim Michaels here. Multiple ballots mailed to you for the rest of your life, Michaels said. I think he's making that part up. Michaels also pledged to use the state's $5.8 billion surplus to fund a tax cut. Governor Tony Evers has proposed cutting taxes with the state's budget surplus. So, you know, really don't have to change the hand at the wheel to get a tax cut. In the digital ads, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin mocked DeSantis and Michaels for scheduling their Green Bay event just hours before kickoff in the Packers' home game of the season. In a press release, they called it the world's worst tailgate and attributed the timing to the fact that Michaels has lived in Connecticut in recent years. Here's a statement from Courtney Beyer. People from Connecticut don't understand the unwritten rules of the Midwest. Cows are happiest in Wisconsin. Fridays are for fish fry. And most importantly, never schedule an event right before the Packers game. That is the ultimate crime. That and, you know, being a Bears fan. Come back with us. The Packers gloriously defeated the Bears. And Ron DeSantis in town, darkening all our doorsteps. Crudy's in the RC. News from the center. Come back. More Devils.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom still in Europe vacationing, seeing off the Princess Izzy to her, I guess, her study abroad semester. But Dom will be back next week. We got some fine guests helping us make it through the day, make it through the week, starting with Dale Schultz. He'll be joining me live in the WRCE studios here, Richland Center, Wisconsin. What's Crudy doing in Richland Center? Well, it's part of the Civic Media Empire, an expanding empire. We moved another station to Wisconsin's third CD. This is a very important part of the state, and we're going to talk about what the governance is like here in the great state of Wisconsin. You know, much like we cheer for our Packers, and we play a little backyard politics sometimes around here, we're going to continue doing so. But first, I would point out, Evan, lightly screening the calls. I can take them here at 844-967-2789. Our pal, Britt from Humboldt, California. Britt, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Good, sir.
Good. Well, after watching your Packers last night beat up on those Chicago Bears, I thought I'd call back with another football analogy that we could apply to this coming election this fall. And
yes, sir.
I couldn't help but notice in the fourth quarter, there was a time when the Bears lined up in a shotgun from the, one-inch line maybe to try and score a goal. And then they ran it with the quarterback from the shotgun position. Now, as you know, it did not work out well for the Bears, but I have to say it felt like they shot themselves in the foot by doing this. And
it certainly was a questionable call. They have Jason Fields, you know, pause and plunge into the line of scrimmage and get stonewalled.
Yeah, it was not pretty to watch, and it certainly didn't seem like a good call. Now, I have to wonder whether or not the Republicans have done some of the same things about shooting themselves in the foot this fall, a la the Bears. I feel like, you know, your guy Gableman there in Wisconsin is talking now about shedding blood for revolution, right? And you've got Lindsey Graham talking about, you know, blood in the streets kind of stuff. And even, you know, the former guy was talking this weekend about, you know, more violence in the streets or likely violence in the streets to come. I feel like this kind of talk is really going to turn off the voters that are going to decide this election, which are kind of independents and middle of the road voters. I think this is another case of shooting yourself in the foot, and I'm hoping it works out just as well for Republicans as it worked out for the Bears.
Well, Britt, I hope they're shooting themselves in the foot and not, you know, using their Second Amendment rights and, you know, targeting someone else. But yeah, a lot of violent rhetoric being expressed currently amongst Republicans. Britt, you got a little ahead of me, but we do have the sound. Don't run off, Evan. I need you right here, man. We've got the sound of Michael Gableman. I believe he is addressing the Outagamie County Republicans. Now, Outagamie County is one of the Wild Counties, one of the exurbs of suburban Milwaukee. And Gableman was the special prosecutor, and he spent, about $1 million of the taxpayers' money supposedly investigating voter fraud. This is the guy that came out and publicly humiliated, I would say, himself in the state of Wisconsin by claiming we should strongly consider, you know, decertifying the 2020 election, despite offering no evidence. But here is what he said over the course of, I think it was this weekend or very recently, published today at the Journal Sentinel. We'll share the link. But Evan, played for the people. Here's Gableman, corrupted former Supreme Court justice, calling for violent revolution.
That's why we have 4 million eligible voters and over 7 million on our voter roll. This is insane, and I feel like I've been working in the Twilight Zone, and the papers have painted me out as if I'm the bad guy. I'm not, so it's a good thing I'm not doing it for the papers. I'm doing it for you, because never in my life before, I've never said this before, I've never said it certainly to a group, maybe to a few friends. For the first time in my life, I am beginning to wonder if America's days, the best days, aren't behind us.
Well, that might be an applause line, but that's not the troubling part.
But I'll tell you what, our comfort is holding us back from taking the action that's necessary.
Yeah, true.
We, our forefathers, our foremothers, they created such a beautiful paradise, it should be, of material and the food we have. The greatest challenge of our poor in this country is not lack of food, it's obesity. It's a beautiful world. But it's that very comfort that is keeping us from what our founders knew to be the only way to keep an honest government, which is revolution. Thomas Jefferson said that the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of the revolutionary generation.
He did go on, you know, to basically say, let me quote him from some reporting here. Our comfort is holding us back from taking the action that is necessary, said Gableman, a former Supreme Court corrupted justice.
I have the rest, too.
Oh, okay, play the rest.
...said that the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of the revolutionary generation. I don't think that's going to happen. And our president has gone out of his way to say, don't even think about a revolution. We've got F-14s, and you bet. Who talks like that?
Well, the president of the United States, if you, a public figure and former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, are basically saying if only we had the will to do the violent revolution that is necessary, And then what? Your biggest gripe is that Joe Biden might put down your revolution, your insurrection with military action? You know, an insurrection against the United States, that's sedition, that's treason, buddy. Well, you know, I guess he's not in cooperation with the foreign power, but I'm pretty sure he would be. Come back. We got a fine guest joining me in the WRCE studios. He is twice elected majority leader, Republican, Dale Schultz, state senator, friend of mine, joining me right here in the RC News from the Center. Come back. Me and Dale Schultz, I'm on the road. Not calling for a revolution, not quite yet. You better free your mind instead.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And so I climbed into the.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back to On the Road in Richland Center, live in the RC studios. News from the center. I got a fine guest. He's from here. He is former state senator Dale Schultz. He's a friend of ours, twice elected Republican majority leader. I like to bring that up about your resume, Dale. Welcome. You've been here before. First time I've ever broadcast from here in Richland Center.
I've been here a few times, to say the least, and a lot of happy memories. And we're all going to miss Ron Fruit and what he did for this community, but we're looking forward to what the future brings.
Well, you don't have to miss Ron quite yet. Ron's going to stick around at least through the new year for us and help ease the transition. Ron is obviously a broadcast Hall of Famer in this state, and it is a tremendous thing he's built here. And, you know, I would only hope to emulate a lot of the good things that he's done, Dale. I'm relatively new to radio relative to Ron Fruit's illustrious career. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to learning from these guys.
You've accomplished a lot, and you're right about Ron. When he got his major award as Broadcaster of the Year, they asked me to say a few words about him, and I said, you know, when I think of Ron Fruit, I think of a Norman Rockwell portrait, a kind and thoughtful individual who really is devoted to his community, totally unpretentious about what he did on a daily basis. But there's no doubt about it, every morning when I got up and would flip on the radio, there would be his voice, Phil Nee's voice, and meant the world to me and a whole lot of other people around here. And a transition is going to occur, and we're looking forward to working with you and making you as successful as Ron.
Well, thanks.
Certainly was.
From your lips to God's ears. But the FM signal, the country WRCO signal, will be effectively unaffected. You know, still the home of the Packers, still the home of local sports and, you know, a lot of local news and Phil Nee and a lot of other people. It's the AM dial here. It's not going to be oldies anymore, but we are going to do our best to inform people and bring them, you know, talk in local politics and, you know, some news and of course, the the Badgers and the Brewers on this. Be my first night. 6:03, man, we're going to Brewers coverage on WRCE AM here, Dale Schultz. So I'm very excited that I'm the Brewers pregame show this evening.
Well, I haven't seen you swing a bat yet, but I'm sure you can. And that's good to know.
Yeah, but you don't want to see me in the field on something horrible.
Well, my legs aren't too good anymore either for that kind of stuff.
Senator, how long, Dale, how long did you serve the community of Richland Center as the senator? And I know you also served on the assembly side for a bit.
Yeah, for 9 years, 32 years in total. And I loved every minute of it. But it just got to the point where I knew there was more to life than politics, and I wanted to spend a few good years with my wife and family and enjoy God's country here, as Lee Dreyfus used to say, that 23rd sound place in Wisconsin.
Well, it is a beautiful part of the state, and Richland Center particularly beautiful. The Bluffs, right behind the building here, Dale. I like it here. And Dale, as a younger broadcaster, not a young man, but a young broadcaster, you joined Dominic and I think it was back in 13 or 14 on the airwaves when we were producing our show out of Madison. And Dale, you had expressed very candidly a frustration with your party's attack on the machinations of the vote. And they were making it more difficult to vote. And they were using lots of excuses, Dale. But it seemed, and what you expressed is basically you were done defending them. They had moved beyond simple remedies, and they were trying to make it harder to vote. Dale, I don't know what we've devolved into now, but it's, you know, now we got guys like Gableman calling for violent revolution and saying we just don't have the stomach for it.
And we spent $1 million trying to find voter fraud, and we didn't find it. You know, I think most people in Southwestern and Western Wisconsin are folks that care about government, appreciate it's important. Many of them have a tradition of being involved in local government, either at their village or city level or township. And they're not naive. And yes, they care about the integrity of the ballot. And so I think trying to reflect that, I certainly cared. But I was kind of stunned when I realized that, in fact, that wasn't what several members of my party were interested in. They had sat down with very smart people to figure out how they could shave a point here or a point there in terms of voter turnout and the turnout of the various political parties or independents. And, you know, I always told people that I was proud to be a Republican, but I was more proud to represent the people in the 17th Senate District. And I knew that they didn't want me messing with their elections. And so I was pretty blunt and open about it. And I was open about it on your show. I remember that very well. And it seems like things have only gotten worse since then. And I think that's very disappointing. Now, we know that both political parties would try to game the system anytime they get a chance. And the only defense against that is a free and unfettered media or sources of media out there, which your radio programs have always been, in the vanguard of. And I'm proud to be here. I was proud to be there in the past. And I think all of us have a civic responsibility to stand up and call BS when we see it. And, I want my vote to count, and I don't expect to win every time. And when you lose, you got to be a good loser. And that's part of life. And it seems to me that politics should be leading, not finding ways to appeal to the worst in people.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got the finest of guests. He is Dale Schultz, a former state senator, hopefully still a friend of ours. He is with me here in Richland Center in the WRCO studios. Dale, it's changed. I feel like politics has changed. Certainly there has been the polarization between the rural areas here in the state of Wisconsin and the urban areas. And it's been done to some electoral impact, to some electoral gain, but it doesn't feel like this state is all badgers anymore. I like to use the term, you know, we're all badgers. Well, I don't feel like we're all badgers at times. I feel like politically we've been driven to our respective corners. It might be a rural badger, or you might be a city badger, but I don't feel like we all come together very often. Maybe behind the Packers, beating the Bears, but otherwise, Dale, there's not much that brings Wisconsin entirely together.
Well, I was always very proud to represent what I thought was a very independent strain of Wisconsinites, very independent-minded, free-thinking folks, and it has been distressing to me as I've watched a steady diet of partisanship being fed to my friends on both sides of the aisle, because what it has done is it has retarded our ability to address problems as a community and to deal with them. And, you know, these days I still love to talk politics. I love to talk about the projects I had the privilege of being involved in. And I take great pride in the things that we are able to accomplish together. But, you know, when people come up to me and start going off on lighting their hair on fire or, you know, promoting extremism, QAnon and the like, I tell them, look, you're selling crazy. Go somewhere else. I'm all filled up here. if you've got a purpose and you want to make the community better, I'm all ears. And I'll debate with anybody. I love the participation. I always thought maybe I could educate some people and some people could educate me. And I was comfortable and confident in the fact that when we entered into that kind of discourse, that we would arrive at the best solution if everybody approached it being of goodwill. And I still believe that. I dream about that. And I worry, frankly, about our democracy. I'm one of those Republicans who's very concerned about the mega rhinos, as people say. Folks that are not Republicans, but they're MAGA people. And I'm sure that a lot of them are very good people. But I think they need to spend a little more time looking at our Constitution and the rights that it gives all of our citizens. And we need to safeguard that for the sake of all of us, because sooner or later it'll be our turn in the barrel. And if the barrel treats us pretty roughly, then it's really because of we weren't there for our fellow neighbors to make sure that the process functioned in a way that we could all be proud of.
Well, it's an interesting point you bring up, Dale Schultz, former state senator, former Republican, twice elected majority leader here in the state of Wisconsin. When Scott Walker was on the recall ballot, it pulled me into politics in a way I was not at the time currently involved. And Dale, it left me. Scott Walker obviously won the recall election. And I'm a liberal guy from Madison. I got a lot of liberal friends. And it's easy to think, well, everybody must have felt about Scott Walker the way I felt about Scott Walker, or my neighbors did. So the fact that he won this recall, well, that's unfathomable to us. The math, it must have been rigged. And in fact, there was a guy, Roger Stone, the dirty trickster, the Nixon turned Trump guy, accused Scott Walker of rigging up to 5 elections in the state of Wisconsin. Well, I certainly felt, Dale, like there were some campaign things that Scott Walker did that were outside the legal. And I wanted to believe the Roger Stone when he accused this guy of rigging elections. And then I learned something, Dale. I learned about the decentralized nature of elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And the fact that we've got like 1,850 independent voting districts in the state of Wisconsin. And to quote unquote rig an election is implausible, if not impossible. It would be a nearly impossible thing to do. Yet here we are, and I as a liberal say, well, you know, I wanted it to be rigged because I didn't feel like the majority of people supported Scott Walker. But damn it if the math didn't uphold his election. And the same thing happened when Trump won, and now the same thing happened when Joe Biden won. But depending on who lost, Dale, it's easy to want it, to feel that sense of sour grapes. You want it to be rigged because you don't want to admit your team lost sometimes. But my team lost in the case of Scott Walker's recall, and the Donald Trump team lost here in 2020, Dale. And I think the sooner we all move on from accusing each other of rigging elections, I think the greater the likelihood we'll find some consensus on something else.
Well, let me be blunt about it. When you interfere with the Constitution and the normal transfer of power within our system, there's a word for that. It's called treason. And I think maybe we all need to go back to school and get a little refresher on that. And this is not a game. It's what makes us unique. And we all like to say we believe in American exceptionalism. Well, when we find ways to sort of thwart the Constitution, when we forget about the values and the principles that we've grown up with, we're in trouble. Maybe we can spend a little time talking about these folks that are fleeing communism who are now being bussed around the country or flown around the country in the future. But these are all very important issues that have two sides to them. But I think we need to get back to first principles.
Ron DeSantis was in the state of Wisconsin yesterday. He's the one that was shipping these asylum seekers out to Cape Cod, apparently. Dale, apparently you don't agree with this political stunt, this tactic.
Well, Well, look, immigration is a very important issue, and it has been for a long time. And we've had a business in this country where presidents have wrestled with it, but Congress has not. When I ran for Congress a few years ago, came in second, so I did pretty well. I used to say the opposite of progress was Congress. And as I look at these guys in Washington and these governors in a heartless way, taking people who are fleeing oppression and busting them around for political purposes, it leaves me a little cold. And I want to call them out, and I want them to come to the table, and let's work together to solve this problem, because it can be a big problem.
Dale Schultz, I encourage you a couple of times to run for governor, but maybe not this term, sir, a little late in this term. Come back more with former state senator Dale Schultz, former congressional candidate Dale Schultz, hopefully still a friend, live from Richland Center. More with Dale Schultz on the other side.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road, Richland Center, Wisconsin, a new civic media property. We've got a fine guest. He is an old friend of ours. He is former state senator Dale Schultz. He is from Richland Center, and we're here broadcasting. He joined me in the studio here. Dale, I appreciate you coming around, talking some politics on this Monday afternoon. Oh, man, the phones get in the way, don't they? Yeah. So, Dale, you brought up the threat of violence. I mean, man, politics has devolved when suddenly we're talking about political violence just to, what, make your ideology? And if you don't get your way, then there's going to be a revolution on the streets. Dale, I worry about the tone, the rhetoric being used. I mean, Dom and I used to, and Dom will be back next week, but when Dom and I started doing this show, it's because we were getting shushed. We'd go out in a public place, we'd go to a bar, and we couldn't argue politics on the bar stool. Well, there should be a place for public discourse, and you have the right to set the rules for your bar, but seriously, Dale, when we stop talking to our neighbors, when we stop having sometimes heated discussion, but talking about politics and religion and all those kind of things, we forget how to have civil conversations, and we get threats of violent revolution. It makes me nervous, sir.
Well, I think the sad reality is that when politics has devolved down to assembling as much information as you can about people and then using that information to appeal to the worst in them, to agitate them, and then to use massive amounts of money to send targeted messages at election time, we've lost something. Because when I got into the business, I knocked on every door. Everybody knew who I was. I think the first time around, I knocked on every door in my assembly district twice. People said, man, you must really want this job. And I said, well, this is the only way I can show you that I'll work hard. And I always believed that I represented everybody, not just the members of my own political party or tribe. And I wanted people to know that, yes, I was proud to be a Republican, and that's where I felt most at home, but I certainly was going to listen to everyone, and I wanted to encourage a thoughtful debate when I'd appear in front of high school or elementary school classes. You know, I would tell kids that this is how I saw my job, and somehow or another along the line, people have sort of forgotten that, and that's disappointing, but we can get it back if we collectively show people that there's another way. And there are groups popping up all over. One of my favorites is Braver Angels, which has gone national, which is trying very hard to show people and set an example that, yes, there are important issues out there, and here's how we discuss them.
Now, you and Tim Cullen, he was a Democratic state senator, Senate majority leader in his own regard. You and Tim did a lot of speaking publicly. I know I've seen you emceed a couple of events where you guys were the guest of honor. Other than educating people, and I think you probably did a good job of that, I thought it was very educational, do you think these sort of conversations move the needle, Dale? Do they move us towards comedy? What do you think the accomplishment is? What would the goal be from public speaking or civic speeches or this encouragement of our neighbors?
Well, I think that what we did it was to inspire an awful lot of people to get involved in politics. I mean, I was very surprised at the groups that would just spin up out of nowhere, driven by people who cared about their community, who wanted a more civil discourse, who realized that a reapportionment had been weaponized to a dangerous degree. And, of course, it ultimately culminated in a lawsuit that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court, by the narrowest of margins, had decided that, no, this isn't something they wanted to be involved in, which, frankly, was hugely disappointing. But that's our process. And as you said before quite eloquently, when you lose, you have to accept it. And their challenge was go back and sell it to the community. So we did. We came back to Wisconsin, and town boards out here, village boards, city councils, county boards, all passed resolutions so that folks in Madison weren't able to say that no one cared. They do care. They did understand. And I think that's important, because when issues are put on the table and they add up, and it's a complicated process how people determine who they're going to vote for, but when they get given enough reason to vote against somebody, they'll vote against them, or enough reason to vote for somebody, they'll vote for them. And so we put that on the table. When we started, nobody knew what gerrymandering was, but right now I think it's clear that substantial majorities of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents believe that we ought to have a nonpartisan process for reapportionment. And I think that's what we accomplished, and I think it was well worth doing. And I had a lot of fun doing it as well.
Well, I'm glad you had fun, though. Dale, I feel like we still suffer, we the populace of the state of Wisconsin, we still suffer from the sins of the 2011 reapportionment, and then the 2021 just sort of re-encrusted these supermajorities that the Republicans currently benefit from. And you know, Dale, it's a pretty purple state. Different parts are red and blue, and maybe because it's more rural than urban, maybe it would have favored Republican majorities. I have no doubt, geographically. But Dale, not a two-thirds majority when Republicans can't win, at least recently, a statewide office.
Well, the analysts who took a look at this with mathematics and with a clear vision pointed out this was the worst case of reapportionment in the state legislature, in a state legislature, anywhere in the country. And I think that's kind of a dubious distinction, and I'm not proud of it. But, you know, look, social change in this country always comes hard. And it comes only when people dig in for the long term. And I'm a long-term player, and I want this political process of ours to serve everyone. And that's the promise of democracy. I'm going to keep fighting for change, and I know you will. And whether we agree on what that change always should be is not the point. The point is that we're going to not allow people to hide from these important issues. And yeah, you know what? That can be fun, and it can be rewarding, and that's what politics ought to be in my mind.
Dale, unless you got to run off, I'm going to ask you to stick around one more segment. Excellent. Okay, quick one. Third CD, reapportioned. We got Derek Van Orden. This guy was an insurrectionist, Dale. He may not have entered the Capitol, but he used campaign money, and he traveled to the Capitol. I feel like that should be disqualifying. Your thought on the third CD Republican nominee?
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed, and I'm not going to kid you about that. I don't know a lot about Derek Van Orden. I've never met the man, but the fact that you know, he was out there and participated in the show, I find disqualifying in my mind. And if we do believe in democracy, then we have to stand up for it. And let me just say...
Hold on, Dale. Hold that thought. We'll have you continue this. On the other side, former State Senator Dale Schultz. More of the Devil's Advocates live in Richland Center.
What has happened to us?
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.